हरि
Goloka and Govindadev are supremely pure. Goloka is a self-revealing, full of eternity and bliss, and superior to anything else. It is a place for those who have no material interests, and it has no contact with the material world, Brahmasiddhita 5.6. Jiva Goswami comments, just as one Purusha is glorified as the Lord and universe in the Purusha Shukta and in other verses, with the conception that the universe and the Paramatma dwelling within are non-different, so the Lord and Goloka are so simultaneously glorified as one by seeing Goloka and its controller as non-different. The word Deva refers both to Goloka as well as its controller, Govinda. It is the place for those who are indifferent to all things except Govinda. Atmaramasya. To show how Goloka has no contact. What's it coming out of here? No. To show how Goloka has no contact with the material world, Sri Jiva then quotes the following Bhagavatam verse. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material qualities of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time, what to speak of the illusory external energy. It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10. Yeah, so just the Lord is non-different. So that's why it says name, form, qualities, pastimes, abode, paraphernalia, associates. So the whole principle is that the Lord is non-different. And here, that non-difference is appreciated because of the personal relationship, the personal interaction. Right? We're not talking here so much on the principle of tattva, and that everything is the Lord. We're talking about the element of rasa. Right? So there's a non-difference, meaning there's specialness, but there's non-difference in that the mood is the same, and everybody is fully absorbed in that relationship with the Lord. So Lord with the devotees, the Dham with the Lord, it's all non-different. Is this my...
Why do you mention demons?
Demons like Prahlad Maharaj? Demons are a group. They're a community. Text 7 to 9. Shakti Tattva, Krishna's energies. The previous verses dealt with the spiritual world, which makes up three-quarters of the Lord's opulence. Right? The tri-quadrantal. Yes. Now the Brahma Samhita will discuss the remaining fourth, the material universes. Creating the universe is not not the duty of Swayam Bhagavan, but the responsibility of Purusha avatar expansion. The process requires the interaction of the masculine and feminine potencies. The following verses reveal how all such things, the activation of the Mahatattva, the procreative desires of the living entities, are shadows of the eternal loving exchanges between the original divine couple. Text 7, the masculine and feminine principle. The Lord as enjoyer is never separated from his internal energy. As the Purusha, he enjoys with his internal energy. And when desiring to create the universes, he releases his energy of time to carry out the creation. Brahma Savita 5.7. But will the Lord not become contaminated like the Jiva by enjoying with his energy? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asserts that the relationship of the Purusha avatar with the inert material energy is not direct, but indirect. Even in casting his glance, he has no contact with the deluding energy because the spiritual chit potency, Rama, then carries the function of his glance as his unpolluted, ever-submissive potency. Okay, so he is glancing at Rama Devi, not at Durga Devi. Like that. But, as we say, the Shakti Parinamabad is that the energy transforms. So she carries it from one to the other. He doesn't even directly look at her. Like that. There's no need. There's the shadow. Why would you look at the shadow when you have the person?
You know? So Rama Devi is in contact with Durga Devi? Or how?
Means if you're dealing with Yoga Maya, then her other office is Mahamaya.
Yeah. So that's.
So he simply glances at her, and then from there it goes. The deluding energy as the maidservant of the spiritual chit potency, Rama, serves the manifest plenary portion of Godhead consorted with Rama. The time energy representing the force of activity and instrumentality of Rama. Hence there is found the process of masculinity or the creative force. Brahma Samhita, Purport 5.7.
Creative force?
Means his glance. He has that, he looks, and then from that goes to Rama, that goes to Mahamaya. Mm-hmm. And that, just that glance, having indirectly gone, still has the force, and that creates starts the process of creation.
So that's masculine?
Yes. The glance is masculine. But who he's glancing at, that's feminine. Right, so chit potency here, Rama Devi. So then you're talking about chit would mean, in this case, means you could look at it from either the chit, as in chit shakti, from such chit and ananda, because chit then carries the of knowledge and activity. Right, that's what she carries. And then that's connected with, and knowledge, and strength, and that's connected with sankarshan. So you could be looking at that aspect of it. Or chit meaning the all-accommodating potency, and it's not, excuse me, not the all-accommodating, the sarup shakti, but the aspect of the sarup shakti that's connected with the karana daksha vishnu. Right. So that means, because she is the internal, external, and the jivas, she's the totality of shakti. But at that level of the Purusha avatar. That doesn't make sense? Which part doesn't make sense?
The last one.
The last one is connected all the way back to the beginning. means, are we comfortable with Sarup Shakti being the total Shakti?
Yeah.
That it's non-differentiated, right? So she is the internal, external, and the source of. Means Sarup Shakti is the source of her dealings with the Lord will be through the internal, right? From her expands the jivas. The jivas dealing with her, they're dealing with internal, otherwise they're dealing with the external. But it's the same person. Right? So when you have the aspect of dealing with that formality of the arrangements, then you're dealing with yoga maya as Srup Shakti. Right? If you're dealing within the pastimes that directly connect with Krishna, that would be Radharani. Mm-hmm. Right? But there she is as Srup Shakti. She is taking the form of, how you say, the capacity of the, you could say, the Hladini Shakti in bringing pleasure to the Lord. While Yogamaya will create the arrangements. Does that make sense? Because to enjoy with Radharani, you need a place. That's what Yogamaya arranges. Right? And so Yogamaya is connected more with that side, meaning that aspect of Sankarshan, because then you have the Dham and everything, and her husband is discussed basically kind of like as Sada Shiva. Is that kind of, you know, so there's, because you're getting so far back that you don't see so much distinctions made. As you come out, the distinctions become more clear.
That's undifferentiated. That's why you call her undifferentiated. So, Shakti?
Means she is the total Shakti. So that means by glancing at her as Rama Devi, as internal potency, she has the office of the external potency, but he's not looking at that aspect. She just takes care of that. So that energy becomes transformed to there. Is that so? Right. But we're just dealing on his level. Right? Means you have the Lord and his energy. Then for pastimes, then you start. The energy then manifests in so many ways. But here we're talking about then there'll be the Sarup Shakti on Krishna's level, which is Radharani. Then there's on Balaram's level. Then that will be Yogamaya. Then on Karanadakshay Vishnu's level, that will be Ramadhi. You understand? So he only deals with his internal potency. But she has the office of the external, but he doesn't deal with that. She deals with that. Does that make sense? Yes, no? It's just like, yeah, yes.
So then when he glances, then she transfers, and then the glance itself also transfers, and then it becomes...
Yeah, because in here, then, Mahamaya is a maidservant of Rama Devi. Right. She's her expansion, so she's her... So it's transferred to there, right? Rama Devi then carries the function of his glance as his unpolluted, ever-submissive potency. She carries it. And then Maya Devi, she serves Rama Devi, right? So then in that way it goes. Because you're dealing with one person, but there's transformation because you have one energy, but then it has unlimited manifestation. It's everything that's going on. That's why in the let's say the like a Radhasa Sahasranam, there'll be names of Durga in there. And when Krishna was talking to his sister, talking to Yogamaya, he said about you coming down to manifesting in the world. He was saying that they'll worship her as all these, you know, names of generally of Devi, you know, Chandi and this and that. Because they're the same person, it's just different office. So he doesn't deal with her in that capacity. He only deals with the internal. In a sense, you're getting the element that says it's the same person, but you have these different offices, and they can do these as expansions, just as Krishna and Vishnu are non-different. But he only manifests those aspects of his potency to function on that level. Okay? But it's the same person. So in the same way, Maya is just a maidservant in that way of functioning there, just like Vishnu sees himself as a servant of Krishna. Yes? Okay.
So we went to Krishna Radhe, Balaram Yoga Maya, Mahavishnu Rama, Devi. So it was Shiva Parvati?
Yes. Like that. But then you're dealing with the that as that now you're dealing with transformation. Shiva is transformed. Durga is transformed.
Okay. So this is,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're not, because when you deal with Yoga Maya and Radharani, you're still talking about internal potency. But when you talk about Maya, you're talking about external potency. Okay. Does that make sense? So that transformation is there, just as Vishnu transforms into Shiva. So it won't go back. Right? So it's non-different, but it's different.
I've also heard that when the glance is there, the jiva is also injected. So
yes, the jiva is going along.
So he sees Ramadev alone, then he gets ideas. Oh, Ramadev is alone, let me protect her. So the control comes, and let me enjoy her, then the enjoyment.
I mean, it's the jivas.
Yeah, the jivas.
And that's another thing that may be coming up. But right now we have to catch that Krishna doesn't doesn't consort with the external potency. She's a servant of the internal, so he deals with the internal, and there's that transformation, so then the external is taken care of. Is that... In other words, only Kala Purusha, the personified time factor, unites with the inert material energy. The Lord is not controlled by Maya, he is served by her. Only the jivas under the influence of the material world are deluded by Maya. One may ask, how can the creation of the material universe take place without the influence of the Lord? Jiva Goswami answers, it takes place simply by the Lord's desire to create. And thus, the Lord discharges time in order to create the universe. Due to the Lord manifesting this desire and the subsequent discharge of time, the universe is created, but he remains enjoying with Rama. So she expands, his glance deals with the expansion. Right? Having gone through her. So he doesn't deal. So time will then make it work. We have the element of eternal time, so the time that controls the living entities here, that's a factor of the material world. Right? So that's what he's saying here. Unites with the inert. Because here you actually have the movement of time. In the spiritual world, you don't have that because it's eternal. You know, so it's not. We look at it just you're around for a long time. No, just there is no time. That's why it's eternal. There's no time. Yes.
Who's representing time? What can we say
for the percent? Yes, also energy. Like that. Same time as just that masculine aspect, but at the same time as everything. Suda, it means time comes from Sudarshan. Right? Because Sudarshan is the ultimate weapon, and time destroys everything. So. So the Lord has the desire, because desire means he is Shaktiman. He desires it. It happens. How does it happen? His energy carries it out. So he desires it. Therefore, then the external energy carries it out. But it only functions on his power, on his potency. It can't function otherwise.
And he desires it for us, for conditioned jivas to be able to...
Means no, he desires it so that the conditioned souls can be reformed. Right? Because that's the whole point of the creation, is then there's an opportunity for the living entities to come back. You know, so it works out perfectly. That the living entities are, wandering off in the wrong direction. Right? So he makes an arrangement so that they can come back. But in that, then he has so many wonderful pastimes with the devotees. So he still only deals with the internal potency. Right? devotees will deal with the external.
Yes. So as much as the mixed devotional service is gone, then you transfer more to the dealing with Krishna directly, because you only deal with that internal.
Yes, that means through bhakti. So that aspect was devotional. That's the interaction with Krishna. That which is mixed, that's dealing with was still with mind. You know what I'm saying? But because it's connected to Krishna, that's still the one progresses, because the spiritual is more powerful than the external. Right. Thus, the material world makes its appearance only by the influence of the Lord's time energy. Moreover, the external potency is not permanently manifest, because she enters into the Purusha avatar at the time of the cosmic annihilation. Exactly how Bhagavan indirectly comes into contact with Maya is described in the next verse. Right, so, when he winds everything up, then there's no manifestation of the material energy, because everything goes back to Pradhan, so then there's no matter. Then again, the glance, and then.
So time will merge also into that.
Yes. Text A, the seed of creation. Rama, under the control of the Lord, is self-manifesting and dear to the Lord. The Lord's eternal form, called Shambhu, whose body is consciousness, is represented figuratively by the lingam, and the inferior energy, a portion of Rama, is represented by the yoni. Shambhu develops the desire to see Maya for creating the universes and Mahatattva, the transformation of Prakriti, after being injected with the jivas, then appears as the seed of creation. The secondary process of association with Maya is described in this verse. Sangarshana, possessed of creative desires, the subjective portion of Krishna, taking the initiative and bringing about the birth of the mundane world. Lying in the causal water as the primal Purusha avatar, he casts his glance towards Maya, the limited potency. Such glance is the efficient cause of the mundane creation, right? Because you have the efficient. And the, what's the other one? Material or?
Instrumental
material. Because they take it up into two, and then you can expand that into four, right? So you get the internal and the external. So he is the cause. So the glass is the efficient cause. Shambhu, the symbol of masculine mundane procreation, is the dim halo of this reflected effulgence. It is the symbol which is applied to the organ of generation of Maya, the shadow of Rama, or the divine potency, Brahma Samhita 5.8 purport. In other words, the Shambhulinga, generative capacity, is the semblance of reflected light of Sankarshan's glance. It is that which unites with the shadow of Rama Shakti. In light of this, some scriptures depict Shiva and Shakti, Durga, as the cause of the world. Shiva Goswami explains why such passages are found, right? Because that will be how you'll see it happen here. But it's generated from there, from the Lord. They are described as such in a figurative way, in which they are the particular limbs of the Purusha, similar to Lord being described in the figurative universal form. This verse describes Vishnu in this way. The Vishnu Purana says, Yasya yuta yutam shamshe vishva shaktir iyam stita. The power involved in creating the universe is situated as a hundred millionth portion of the Lord. Thus, according to the statement of the Vishnu Purana, the portion for producing the material world is called Shambhu, another name of Vishnu. He is an amsha or linga, a representative of the soul of the universe, the Purusha, right? The soul of the universe, yeah, it means is of the Mahatattva is Karanodakshaya Vishnu, but of the specific universe is Garbhodakshaya. Because when he glances, it's Mahavishnu who's glancing, but only a portion of his glance enters. Because right? What stays back, that's Sadashiva. So he stays still with his internal potency. right? But what enters, that's Shambhu, which then combines with the external energy. So that's what he says here, a millionth, what is it? 100 millionth portion of a portion. Right? So Mahavishnu is a portion of the Lord. So it's already Krishna to Balaram, Balaram to Mahanarayan, Mahanarayan to Sankarshan, Sankarshan to Mahavishnu. Then 100 millionth portion of that. You know, you're dealing with unlimited, so it's just to give you an idea. It doesn't require much to make this place work. Right? Very small battery. Right? Only a portion of a glance. Yes.
So here, does it mean that Shambhu is a representative of Mahavishnu or
Garbhodakshini? Means Sadashiva is Mahavishnu, Shambhu would be Garbhodakshini. Thus, according to the statement of the Vishnu Purana, the portion for producing the material world is called Shambhu, another name of Vishnu. He is an Amsha or Linga representative of the soul of the universe, the Purusha, who has become indistinct, being covered by his bodily effulgence, and who in turn is an Amsha of Govinda. It should be understood that this form is different from Shiva described in verse 45, Kshiram yatada dhivikara visesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pritagasti hetur. The way of making his appearance is completely different. Footnote 11. So, there's the form of the Lord for creating, because you're dealing creation here, it's based on ignorance, so that will be connected with this aspect of Shambhu. Right? Just like the creative element, that's Hiranyagarbha. Because Mahavishnu has these three moods, creator, maintainer, destroyer. Creator will be Hiranyagarbha, maintainer, that's Vishnu, and destroyer, that will be Shambhu or Sadashiva. Right? Okay, footnote 11. This form of Shiva, described later, is not Vishnu Tattva. He is known as follows. Shiva, Shakti, Yukta, Shashvat, Tri, Lingo, Guna, Samvrita. The Shiva who is united with the illusory potency remains covered by three types of false ego, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance.
So what would be Shiva Tattva?
Yes, he's in that, the Shiva Tattva. Because he's dealing with the external. So here the three kinds of ego, goodness, passion, ignorance, is that you have that which is connected with the body, that which is connected with the intelligence and senses, that which is connected with the mind. Right? Because he doesn't have the problem of the fourth false ego, which we do, because he is Purusha. So he is a controller and enjoyer. So he doesn't have that one. You know, but we have all four. Right? So therefore, he's superior to us.
When you say that Lord Shiva is transcendental, that he's the best of devotees, if he's covered...
You're talking about the Sadashiva aspect.
Oh, okay.
Because that's non-different from Vishnu.
And this would be more like Rudra.
Yes, and this would be Rudra. So it's just like when we're saying you have Goloka and Gokul, and the words can all be, you know, or Goloka and Vaikuntha. All these things can be interchanged, so the same way as these words, you know, Shiva, Shambhu, Rudra, depending upon the situation, they'll use two terms. One is meaning the aspect of Sadashiva, the other is meaning the aspect which is consorting with the external potency.
So. Maharaj, on the previous page, there was a word, Santashan, possessor of creative desire in his subjective portion of Krishna. We are discussing subjective. Is that indirect, like an expansion?
No, here you can say that, but subjective meaning because we're talking masculine, feminine, right? So subject will be the masculine, object will be the feminine, right? So therefore, because you're dealing with one thing, you're dealing with the masculine is the subject aspect. Because the Lord is one, right? So when you're dealing with the energies, right, the multiplicity there, the Elohim, right? So then that aspect is, then you're dealing you tell the difference because one is the subject, the other is the object. Because the Lord is only manifest through his internal potency. So how will you tell the difference between Krishna, who's manifest through internal potency, and the internal potency manifesting through internal potency? But you can tell the difference because the flavor is different. Because the masculine is the subject, right? And then the energy is the object. So that's why I said Krishna is the supreme subject, right? So here Mahavishnu is the subject, but Krishna will be the supreme subject. Okay. Okay, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also gives the following purport. There is an extremely confidential consideration here, right? So confidential means it's very subtle and very... The desire of the Purusha engages in the act of creation after accepting the aspects of the instrumental cause and the ingredient cause. Here Maya, the female receptive potency, acts as the instrumental cause. While Shambhu, the male generative capacity, acts as the ingredient cause, Upadana. The Purusha, who acts according to his own sweet will, is Mahavishnu. The ingredient principle, Pradhan, is the ingredient cause, Upadana. The receptive principle, Prakriti, is Maya. The creator of the material universe and the cause of the union of the two principles is Sri Krishna's partial expansion, the Purusha, or the principle of desire. These three, Pradhan, Prakriti, and Purusha, constitute the agents of creation. No, means Maya is Pradhan.
Prakriti?
Yes, Prakriti. But, it's because you have the elements of that transformation of where it is just the receptive principle, and then you have the ingredients. But why have the ingredients come? Right? Yes, I'm just saying. Because of the desire, so that comes in the form of the, because of the desire, there's the glance, and so that that has that masculine principle of Shiva or of the ego. So then that then Pradhan divides into all the different elements. So you have the 24 elements because Shiva's now interacted with Pradhan. So then he's the ingredients, while she's the receptive. Means she's received the energy, but by that it's created. Does that make sense? Means we'll see if it gets more. Okay, it'll probably come up here. Means it may become more obvious here, because the whole thing is based on the same principle. Is that the how you say? Yeah. Okay. We'll see how it's explained here.
Maharaj?
Yes.
It says here that the Purusha is the principle of desire. Isn't that the attribute that we usually attribute to Jung and who it's all concerned with?
No, because he desires that it happens. So the creation. Does that make sense? But that it having it's there is something to work with. Here's the concept of it. Because remember in Sankarshan you have both the principle of how it is in its nature, and then you have the actual application of it. So the concept, just like if we say, if you want to be successful, then you have to be committed to it. You have to feel, yes, I can do this. You have to see the importance of it. So all we're trying to do is inspire you. So that's that aspect of it. Then the application of that, where then one is inspired, that's Prajumna. Just like you can discuss what is the plan, that's not Abhideya. The plan, yes, is Abhideya, but your discussion of it is actually the Abhideya aspect of Sambandha. When you apply it, that's Abhideya. And you talk about, yes, if we do this, we'll get this goal. But that's still a Sankarshan aspect of that. Because Sankarshan means the knowledge of all four parts. Right? But when you apply it, you apply the mood, you apply the endeavor, and you receive the result. And that's then Prajumna Anuvada Gospel.
And that's why Shambhu is an amsha of Garbhodaksha.
Yes. That's why he's an amsha, and also why Garbhodaksha is of Mahavishnu. Yeah? Like that. So, in other words, here's where you're looking at that difference between the three Purushas, but the non-difference. The difference between Vishnu and Shiva and the non-difference. The difference between the internal potency and the external potency and the non-difference. And you're having to deal with all of them at once. That's why it's confidential. Right? Okay, here Maya is the receptive point, acts as the instrumental cause, while Shambhu, the male generative capacity, acts as the ingredient cause, upadana. Okay, we're going to see how it comes out here. If not, we'll go back. Text 9, the offspring of Shiva and Shakti. Thus, the living entities, bodies, make their appearance by the portion of Vishnu impregnating Prakriti and are known as her offspring. Brahma Samhita 5.9. All the living entities in the mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine linga and the feminine generative organs, yoni. Right? That's the point, is all living entities are divided into masculine and feminine. Right? And even if you're saying, worms are both, but that's the point. They're still both. They're not something else. Right? There's only male and female. So there's not something else. You know, I mean, don't say it too loud. You know, what is it? LG. I can't even remember. Whatever it is, they'll may not agree with that. But the point is you only have these two. Right? Then you could make all kinds of varieties and combinations of how you like to put it all together. But the point is it's still masculine and feminine, right? Because it's coming from this original source of the masculine of Shiva and the feminine of Parvati. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, perhaps out of sensitivity to his Victorian English readership, explains the use of these terms. Right? Because in India, they don't have difficulty with these. You can discuss it as a concept, and everybody's happy. But in the West, then they get all the jiggity because, how you say, yeah. They like being involved, right? Yeah. So. The feature that is of special significance is that although such expressions as the generative organs of male and female are indecorous, yet in scientific literature these words expressing the above-mentioned principles are exceedingly wholesome and productive of abiding value. Right? So on the social platform, then they're indecorous, right? It means people don't really appreciate it. But on the scientific platform, then they give very specific, it's just describing how things function. Right? Indecorum is merely an entity pertaining to the external custom of society. Because just whenever it's happening, then you can talk about things more or less. So it's not that there's an absolute truth on whether you can talk about things like this or not. It's just whatever the society decides at the time.
Yes.
Right? But science, and especially the highest science, cannot destroy the truth identity by deference to social custom. Right? Wherefore, in order to demonstrate the seed of mundane sex desire, the basic principle of this phenomenal world, the use of the identical words is indispensable. Brahma Samhita 5.9 purport. Lastly, Jiva Goswami anticipates potential doubts. The scriptures dedicated to Shiva describe this operation as independent of Vishnu, out of ignorance and of the full details. The present verse, What does this do?
It's because we're coming to the end.
Hmm?
We're coming to the end.
We're coming to the end. I mean, that's the... Oh, okay.
And I think there are some points with, in the discussion before that's going to be there in the next few verses. So until he's coming, then maybe we can just go through.
Okay. Okay, the present verse continues the previous description with understanding that only Vishnu performs this task. Right, so it's his potency. Okay, so it didn't come out in what's given up to here. Okay, it's just like this. Okay, now we have the principle of production of a child. Okay, so that requires the masculine principle and the feminine principle. Okay, so now in the process, the potency... The potential of creation is generated by who and received by who?
Generated
by the male, received by the female, right? And so then that produces the child, right? So where is the living entity? In the generative or in the receptive?
In the generative.
Yeah. In a sense, the same thing. It's just... Why it works like that here is because that's what it works like on the universal principle. That's why then he's the ingredient. Right? Because one will say the child is the product technically of the father. Right? And the mother is the reception of where that can happen nicely. So, does that make sense? So that potency is able to therefore manifest through. So the Lord's potency is able to manifest by as the form of Shambhu, as therefore then through the receptive quality of Maya is able to manifest the creation. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. Does that make sense? Because you're always going to have this element that, depending on how you're looking at it, the masculine and feminine position can switch places. You know what I'm saying? Depending on which angle you're looking at. Generally, the middle stays where it is. It's the two ends, then they can be looked at it, depending on you. Okay. Okay, so that means we got to verse 9. So, what's the difference between these two? Oh, this is with the Dikdarshini. So this is Banumar.
Yes.
And this is the BBT.
Yes.
Oh. A few more pages, okay. Just to
see you.
I don't know if it's
going to
last the whole time, but at least we
can. I guess it's another few minutes.
He's going to run now and then come back.
Come with another paragraph. Okay.
The topic wasn't the easiest, you understand?
Hmm?
The topic wasn't the easiest, so that's it. Yeah.
Text 10 through 7. 10. Vishnu, Shiva, Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, and the Guna Avatars. Text 10. Shambhu and the Lord are non-different. This powerful Purusha who assumes an indistinct form is actually the Supreme Lord. Right? Because as means, what were we looking at it here? The Lord glanced. So from his position, what do you see? Right? He's glancing at Ramadevi, and he continues to interact with Ramadevi. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But now, when we look at it from the other side, then you see a glance, which is the effulgence. Okay? So then it's said that the Lord's form becomes covered by this effulgence. So from this side, you only see the effulgence. Understand?
Yes.
So that's also another aspect. Why the Brahman aspect is why we discuss it, because that's what you're trying to cross that to get to the person.
Yes.
Right? Like the Upanishad is mentioning about not being unable to see the Lord because of his effulgence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, where the Lord's standing, is there a problem of effulgence?
No.
No, that's where we're standing.
Yeah.
Right? So, being within the material confines, then you have that element of the Lord is covered by his effulgence, because that's how this whole thing is manifesting. Okay. Having appeared with an indistinct form, Shambhu, Mahavishnu then appeared with distinct form as the master of all living entities in the universe. Brahma Samhita 5.10. In Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.2.27, we learn that sometimes the jiva takes the role of Shiva. Sometimes Shiva is born from Lord Brahma's forehead, sometimes from Vishnu's forehead, and sometimes is expanded from Sankarsana for the purpose of devastation. In this context, however, the discussion is about Sadashiva, also known as Adi Shiva, who is Vishnu Tattva. The Acharyas explained that Mahavishnu becomes covered with effulgence at the time of placing the jivas in Prakriti, and thus his form becomes indistinct at that time. Right, because the glance is Sadashiva, so therefore he becomes indistinct, because from our view he's covered by this glance. Right? It's not that he's covered by the glance, but we're covered by the glance. The Acharya explained that Mahavishnu becomes covered with effulgence at the time of placing the jivas in Prakriti, and thus his form becomes indistinct at that time. This is called Linga. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, clarifies the position as follows. The first line replies to those with misconceptions, and after that, the second line again makes a distinction between the distinctly manifest form of Mahavishnu and his indistinct form called Shambhu. Therefore, he who produces the material realm and who is but an amsha of Mahavishnu is still called the powerful Purusha, the great Lord. Having assumed the subtle form, Shambhu then appeared with a distinct form because he alone is distinct as the master of all exalted and degraded jivas of this universe. Diktarshini Tika 5.10. Right, so there's the Lord, his distinct form, then his glance, Sadashiva, and that's an indistinct form. Then again, he takes a distinct form. You know, it's like Krishna. Somebody asked Prabhupada, so if God's so great, can he make a mountain that he can't lift? And Prabhupada said, yes. You know, and then he'll lift it. You know, so you make these kind of things, and then you'll do the...
So now we have Sadashiva, Shambhu, and Rudra.
Oh, you it means if you're taking, you have the element of the destruction of the universe. You have the element of Shiva, who is the, you know, the shelter or the of the internal, external potency. And then you have that aspect of Shiva who is non-different from the Lord. It is simply the desire, you know, for in creating the universe, but the universe being created based on false ego, therefore it has that aspect.
Yes. So on a certain level, actually the Shiva is there. They are correct. They say that he is the creator, he is the destroyer, and he is the maintainer.
Yes, Shiva, but they don't know which level they're talking about.
Yeah, but they take it out of context.
Yeah, that's why he was making that point. Is what did it say?
Jiva Goswami.
Yeah, that they're only giving a partial. The scriptures dedicated to Shiva describe this operation as independent of Vishnu out of ignorance of the full details.
Yeah.
Right? So, but technically it only appears that they're leaving Vishnu out. All it is not making the distinction between Vishnu and Shiva there. Because there is a non-difference. Because all the qualities that are attributed to Shiva are actually Vishnu's qualities. Like that. That potency comes from there. But applying that, then you're going, if you're applying that within the spiritual realm, then that's Vishnu. You're playing within the material realm, that will be Shiva. Because if you're dealing with Rama, then it'll be Vishnu. If you're dealing with Parvati or Durga, then you're dealing with Shambhu. So it's very subtle because you're talking about the same. Yes.
We spoke about distinct form and indistinct form. So the first is Mahavishnu,
right.
Then Shambhu, and then Garbhodakshaya Krishna.
That we'll see, because the interesting thing is the prayers to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the Shuktas, if you didn't know that that's what it was, you'd think they're talking, describing Shiva. Because he's also known as Tamasi. Because he's dealing with the ego and everything that creates the basis of the material manifestation. Right? So it's his potency, but it's coming from him. But that actual coming from him, it's between him and the internal potency. But then there's the transformation where you're dealing with the external potency. Is that make sense? So these things are non-different. That's why I said it's confidential. To shed further light on this complex tattva, it is worth quoting from Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary to Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Sharanga Rangada, where the present Brahma Samhita verse is directly discussed. Bhagavan Shambhu is the expansion of Swayam Rupa Krishna. He is called the Linga, or representation of Krishna, because Linga means a part. Right? Vishvakosha says, Linga Chinne Numane Cha. Linga means a sign or inference. Right? So you can tell Vishnu is there, his potency, by this inference of his glance, of that effulgence. Bhagavan refers to the Lord of Vaikuntha, endowed with the six powers. Shambhu means he who creates good fortune. Appearing as Sankarshan in the second Vyuha, he creates the bodies of the jivas who are previously merged in Prakriti. Thus he is called Shambhu. His form is knowledge, or consciousness, Jyoti Rupa. By Shambhu being under Krishna's control, being his linga, Krishna's portion as Swayam Rupa can be understood, just as one can understand a bull by seeing his distinctive dewlap. Because Krishna is the Swayam Rupa with Shambhu, Mahavishnu, as his vilas form. Shambhu is called linga, or his representative. She who is the material cause, upadana, consisting of mahatattva and other elements, yoni, is called the inferior shakti, matter made of three gunas. The mahatattvam, bijam, is the result of Krishna's amsa, Sankarsana Mahavishnu, desired glance upon maya. Mahatattva is prakriti endowed with the unlimited jivas. So if it's without the jivas, then you just have pradhan. When it's with the jivas, then that's mahatattva. So that's why the jivas who are on that mundane platform, they're here. Right, so therefore the whole material pastime, that whole thing can be called mahatattva. So you can either be referring to mahatattva as where Mahavishnu is sitting, right, or this process of having glanced and the elements separated and the jivas are there, that point before the secondary creation is mahatattva. Does that make sense? You know, one is generic in that it includes the material energy and the jivas, and that's what mahatattva is. Right? So one is dynamic, the other one is dynamic or not, depending upon where you are in the pastime. The Lord has glanced or not. So. Mahatattva. Okay. The offspring of maya, bodies of the jivas, arise from the combination of the glance of Sankarshan, who is called linga, and maya, yoni. Though the offspring are said to belong to Prakriti, Maheshwari, this is a secondary meeting. since she is dependent on Sankarshan for the creation of bodies. Right? So that's why you can say that the child is the mother's, but at the same time it's dependent upon the father. Does that make sense? So you can get both of these. That's how even then you have scriptures that it's Maya is everything. And Shiva is not technically the supreme. Maya is the supreme. You know, so you get, it's just which perspective you want to look at. But it doesn't matter what perspective you're looking at. If you're looking at the whole thing, it's still the same. See, it becomes very easy. Now, if you're just saying Shiva supreme, or Maya supreme, or Indra supreme, or this one or that one, or there is no supreme, or everyone supreme, it's easy. Why? Because you're only dealing with one aspect, not dealing with the whole thing. Right? And they always deal in that way. Otherwise, you won't have. You can't have a worshiper of Shiva, and you're talking about a different demigod. You have to stick to talking about Shiva. So it's straightforward. Does that make sense? It's simple. But, now, devotees, when they're discussing it, then you can talk about all these aspects, and you see it in connection with Krishna. So therefore, we have all these various ways of looking at it that others don't. Because it's always about the Lord. It's always about Vishnu. That's why it seems to be confusing, because this is Vichar. We're looking at Krishna from a different angle, from the creative angle. You know, not just the general. Now we're getting down into the details of how it works. Right? In some sense.
So the confusion may come because we can see from all different angles, but certain groups who just have one angle. So.
Yeah, that's why it's there. But the thing is that if you understand the overall, you can see where they're missing points. And therefore, then you can discuss and bring them to a proper understanding. But if you don't, then it's like they've got an angle and we've got an angle. So does that make sense? That's the point. So you want to avoid that. That's why it's said you can discuss it. You know more of the scripture, and you can present that, then that's better. You know less, that's not as good. And no matter what's presented, you always have an answer for it. That's the best.
A little uttam platform.
Yes, like that. Because the uttam is seeing the truth. So even if they don't know the technical knowledge and the point, they're seeing it so they can just explain what it is. Yeah. The madhyama has studied it nicely, so from that point he can explain it. And there'll be realization. The neophyte, then the amount of realization, the amount of Shastric knowledge is less. So therefore they might get, not be sure, become bewildered in that discussion. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like that, yeah. That's the point. Okay, though the offspring is said to belong to Prakriti, Maheshwari, this is a secondary meaning, since she is dependent on Sankarshana for the creation of bodies. The Purusha, possessor of Shakti or Maya, Shaktiman, the expansion of Krishna, Linga Rupi, is called Maheshwara. The great Lord, Sankarshana Mahavishnu, appeared as the controller of Prakriti, given charge by Krishna, Linge, Sharanga Rangada, 1-2. 32. What's Sharanga Rangada? Oh, okay. Okay, does that make sense? So, basically, why is there Mahavishnu?
For creation?
Yes, for creation. So that means this whole process, that's why Mahavishnu is Shambhu. Because Shambhu is who's going to deal with the process of creation. At the same time, he's Vishnu. Because it's Vishnu only who has the desire for creation.
He's separate Acharya.
Yes. So that's the thing, is you have both these aspects. So it's just a matter of which one you're looking at, then you will present that one, you know, in clarity. Here they're showing that the other side. But always referencing it back. So then it becomes, right? So that means technically Mahavishnu, he's Linge. Right? But he is the Linga form. Because he's that expansion of the Lord. What he mentioned here is linga, a sign or inference. So we can tell the Lord's creative potency, you know, of Mahavishnu, and therefore understand it's Krishna. Because in Vaikuntha, there's no need of creation. So you don't have the Purusha avatar. But in the material world, there is. Therefore, he's there. Yes? No?
Pretty short.
Pretty short? They're the same. It's just different moods. It means in this discussion, they're the same. But if you're discussing the levels of when you're dealing with Sadashiva, then you start to make these distinctions. So you use different names to get an idea. Does that make sense? Because there's the glance that reflects, because that stays with the internal potency. There's the glance that enters and goes to the external. So it stays with the internal, that's Sadashiva. What enters, that's Shambhu. So you make that distinction there. But the point is this whole process is going on because of Mahavishnu. It's Mahavishnu who's creating. Then in that process of creation, then we have Garbhadakshai and Kirudakshai Vishnu. Right? And we have the demigod Shiva, we have Parvati, we have all these things. But it's Mahavishnu who's doing the creation. Does that make sense? No.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The jivas came from...
Ah, okay. Oh. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're waiting for. It's like this. If you don't have a relationship with Krishna, where do you come from? It means how do you define a jiva that is... What makes a jiva who's a resident of Vaikuntha and the resident of Braj? What's the difference? They're the same atomic particle of the Lord's, you know, expansion of the Lord's internal potency. What's the difference? Yes, but why is one in Vaikuntha and one is in Braj? Desire is not quite enough. Swabhava, but that's a Swabhava is servant. That's the same. The triquadrantal situation of living entities is the same. They're all servants of the Lord. The mood. You understand? So we make too much of a distinction here. Oh, we came from this one, or we came from that one. Or the point is you have a mood, the Lord reciprocates. If you don't see Him as the Lord of the Lord of your life, and that, then that's coming from the Purusha avatars, they'll deal with that. Does that make sense? If you have love for Krishna, then that's your connection. You know what I'm saying? So, if you're in the neutral state, where is the neutral state?
Brahman.
Yeah, Brahman. And just what we've just read here. You have Mahavishnu, and then he's glancing at Rama, and that's transforming into the external potency. Rama is. So, there you have, you know, the internal and the external in the same place. Right? And the jivas are involved. So you're making a choice. What do you mean by inside? Is there a difference between the inside and the outside? But what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Trying to nail it down to a locative element of time and space will be very difficult. Because you're talking about one quarter of unlimited. So it's still not going to fit into our, you know, brain. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about moods here. The jivas are eternal. But depending upon their mood, then Krishna reciprocates with them. So it doesn't matter, you know, it's just like the Kastuba gem is the jivas, right? The totality of jivas is the kastubha gem. Okay? Now we're going to get into, well, you know, I must have come from the head side of it, you know, I didn't come from the tail end of it, you know, the kastubha. You know, I'd say, but these are basically not important discussions.
And the mood can change.
What do you mean the mood can change?
Because the mood brought us here.
The mood brought us here because we're seeing the Lord's energy is separate from Him. That's Maya. You see the Lord, the energy as connected to Him. That's Rama. That's internal. You don't see a connection to Him. You're dealing with Mahamaya. You see a connection with Him. You're dealing with Yoga Maya. It's how you view it. How we view it as individuals. You know what I'm saying? So the important point is not the mechanics of how we got here. You know, where was I standing? You know, if luck was there, if I had been looking the other direction, would it have been different? That's not what's important. The point is we get ourselves here by our consciousness. Our consciousness, we see the energy of the Lord separate from the Lord. That's all. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like this. You go into the temple. Is the temple spiritual or not? Okay. The deities are there, kirtan's going on, you see an opportunity to lead kirtan. Okay? Now, what world are you in? Spiritual or material? Spiritual. What if you're thinking, wow, he led kirtan, but I can do better than that? Then where are you? You're in the material world. Even though you're standing in front of the deities, you're surrounded by Vaishnavas, you're chanting the holy name. Not that there's not some intent to please Krishna, but it's a mix. So that mixed part, that's the material world. And so with, as long as the mix is there, we don't belong in the permanent aspect of the... We'll remain within the uniquadrantal instead of the triquadrantal. Does that make sense? So it's about the consciousness, not about, you know, who is where and this and that, you know. And who's on first? Right? You understand? That's the problem with this discussion. That's why the discussionist said, don't bother to talk about it. Because if one tries to figure it out by the locative elements, then, or even, you know, it's not going to work. It can only work is that it's based on desire. Our desire is not to serve Krishna. We're here. We desire to serve Krishna. We'll be there. That's all. Because we're dealing with something way more subtle. You know what I'm saying? We're dealing with something subtle here. It's that it's the Lord's energy. And as Swarup Shakti, it's one energy. But it has different... It can manifest as internal and external depending upon how we see it. Does that make sense?
When we want, when we desire again to serve Krishna, then in the spiritual world, we can change the mood.
No, you have to change it here before you get to the spiritual world.
Sorry,
means if you change it, you're in the spiritual world. You don't change it, you're not in the spiritual world.
So it's fixed. That mood which you have there is fixed.
No, the mood of service to the Lord, that's fixed. Right?
But the way we serve is fixed.
What does it matter if it's fixed or not? What's the point?
No, why we came here, we were not satisfied.
No, it's not a matter of not being satisfied. It's a matter, because if we're not satisfied, then it's not that great, then I'm doing fine here, so leave me alone. Very dangerous. That's why it said don't play around with this. It's not a matter of not being satisfied. You just thought, I will gain something directly from dealing with the Lord's energy rather than dealing with the Lord's energy in connection with the Lord. So it's envy. It's not dissatisfaction, it's envy. Don't give yourself so much credit. That you were there and I tried, been there, done that, tried the spiritual stuff, it wasn't so great, so I came down here, you know, it looked better. You understand? That's a very dangerous, because then
you know, it's just natural. Hey, it's not working there. Or if we came from Brahman, you know, then this is a step up. At least now there's form and stuff. So I'm progressing. You know, get off my back. These are all just tricks to not be engaged in devotional service. That's why they're considered basically useless as discussions, because these points have no reality with transcendence. You're discussing it's discussions of words used in the scriptures, but there's no understanding of what those words mean. Otherwise, if they understand the words, there's no need to write books on the subject. You know what I'm saying? Do you need a book written on the subject for a teenage girl to like a teenage boy?
Mm-hmm.
No. So that's the point. Who writes books and all that? Ones that don't know. Simple. Okay.
All right. Mahavishnu is
Mahavishnu and Shankarshan.
Yeah, because here.
Because then the Purusha avatars are three: Shankarshan, Prajumna, and Adiruddha. Purusha avatars. Ah. Okay. We need some lines between the dots here. Right? Okay. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and Sankarshan are the same person. Karanadakshay. I said Karanadakshay?
Yes.
No. Yeah. I said Garbhodakshay. Yeah. Mahavishnu, Karanadakshay Vishnu, and Sankarshan are the same. Okay? Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Prajumna are the same.
Okay.
Right? And Kiradakshay and Aniruddha are the same. The Lord comes and performs his pastimes as Vasudeva. Or we take it here generally as Vasudeva is the origin of Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Right, so because there's the desire for the material creation, therefore, then Sankarshan has come as Linga, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have both these elements, you have the material energy, and you have the Lord here. So that combination makes the material world. Right, so that's this, you know, Eka quadrantal.
Yes.
Good terms.
Yes, they're nice. Yes.
So otherwise, sometimes it's harder to put. Where,
yes,
because we like the locatives. So
yeah.
You can do it.
So Maharaj, Shri Dakshaya is Paramatma.
Kiradakshaya Vishnu is Paramatma.
And he's connected to Niruddha, which is the mind.
Yes, but he is Aniruddha.
So he is Aniruddha. So there's a connection between Paramatma and
the mind.
I always have a doubt between if he's Paramatma or the mind. They're very close.
No, he's the Lord of the mind, not that he is the mind. He's the Lord of the mind. The mind's dead matter.
Okay.
So he's the Lord of it, how it functions. That's why when it's full moon, then the mood is one way. With dark moon, it's different.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm still struggling to see what's the connection between the Linga and Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Kiradakshay Vishnu.
Garbhodakshay and Kiradakshay are expansions of Mahavishnu. Of Karanadakshay.
Yes.
Right? So that's their expansion. So he's Linga. Mahavishnu is Linga. They're his expansions, so naturally they're just further elements of Linga.
So in one sense they're transformed.
No.
means the aspect of transformation is there, but at the same time is the creation has to be maintained. So that's what Garbha Daksha and Kira Daksha are doing. Does that make sense? But the overall purpose of the whole process of having the whole, the eka quadrantal aspect of the cosmos is for the purpose of creation. Therefore, Mahavishnu can be called Linga. The same time, if you take Mahavishnu from the point of Vishnu, and he's glancing, so that glance is Linga. Does that make sense? Right? And then you take it further, is that that aspect of the glance that goes into the material energy or actually deals with the material energy, then that's also Linga. But that would be then specifically Shiva. What's on this side, there's non-difference. When you go into the universe, you'll see a difference between the two. But at the same time, is why is the universe working? How everything is being pervaded, and it's all happening. So that is by the Lord's Brahman, by his qualities. But at the same time, that's being applied in connection with the material energy, then that's also Shiva and Parvati. Because that same Brahman is manifesting the spiritual realm, but it's not in connection with the external energy, so we don't apply that aspect. But at the same time, it's being controlled, because Yoga Maya is dealing with it, and Yoga Maya as a potency has to have a shelter. Does that make sense?
So I guess it boils down to the Garbha Daksha Vishnu and Shiva Daksha Vishnu, they're not in direct contact with the material energy.
Neither is Mahavishnu.
No, but
the Purusha avatars are not. So that aspect that is, that's Shambhu. Right? But in those various aspects. But at the same time, since it's non-different than the Lord, then the Lord will be seen in that capacity in certain descriptions. You know what I'm saying? It's just like here, the descriptions, we're always looking at it from the angle of the Purusha. As I mentioned, you have the Lakshmi Tantra. It looks at it from her perspective. It means, in other words, the Lord wants the creation to happen. She gets it done. So she talks about how she does it. You know, it's just like the man is there and, you know, he had guests and he desired that there was some, you know, some food and drink for the guests. Okay? And so then, you know, the food and drink was brought, everyone was served nicely and that, and then afterwards they retired to the, you know, to the drawing room and discussed so many things and in this way, you know, spent a wonderful evening. Okay? So, but how did that happen? The man desired it, he told the, you know, the head, you know, the butler, he went down and told the maids, they did this and that, got this ready, then the workmaids there brought it up, then the other men, then they brought it in, then they served the guests. So that's the technical of what's happening. So it's the same thing. All it is you're looking at this other angle, because we want to know how that happens. How did we get involved in this? Because Shambhu means that he's the three aspects of ego. Right? I'm the controller, I'm the doer, and I'm the enjoyer. Right? Because if I control, I can do, and if I do, I get results, they're mine, I enjoy them. So when we give up these three egos, we're no longer functioning in that side, then we're functioning on the other side. Right, so all it's explaining is how that functions through on this side. You know, and so if that can be appreciated and understood, then one qualifies to function in the other side. Otherwise, does that make sense? So that's why that the element of non-difference and difference is there. Right? Because the butler the gentleman of the house? No, but at the same time he's his potency. He says, bring the meal, it happens. Just by his desire. You understand? So that's how it all happens. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes. So that's why simply by seeing the energy in a different way, you just reverse the whole
universe. Yes, that's the whole idea, is that you reverse it, because now I'm trying to be the controller and enjoyer. I give that up, then I've reversed the process. Because I'm sitting exactly where I am with my conditioning that I have because of my specific desire to control and enjoy. Now, I will work with my specific desire to control and enjoy, but more important is working with the principle of, you know, I'm not the controller and enjoyer. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just working just on my specific conditioning, I work with the principle. Because if you get rid of the principle, the conditioning is also dealt with. You know what I'm saying? I can deal with something, you know, on my street, or there can be, I can deal with the law that governs all the streets. You know what I'm saying? Somewhat smartphone.
Trying to beam him up.
Okay. Yeah.
The four types of false ego.
Four. They're coming up. I know they're here. Either we're dealing with the second or third canto. They means you have rajasa, tajasa. Can't remember the name of the other two. But it means you have the original, which is I'm the controller and the joy of the Purusha Bhav itself, right? Then you have the specific of that being applied through by the medium of false ego. So I am of this identity with this particular body, right? Or this particular field of activity, right? I identify due to the body and its situation, right? Then you have the senses and the intelligence. That's the next level of ego. Then the final, the central one is the mind. Does that make sense? Choosing, picking and choosing what I'll enjoy and like that. So these three are why we're in the material world. Now, the impersonalists try to get rid of those three. And, as we see, when it deals with Shiva, it only mentions three. It doesn't mention the fourth. That's why they never leave.
So they leave out the mind?
No.
They leave out the first
one. They leave out the Purusha Bhav. Because, as we mentioned, Shiva doesn't have a problem with Purusha Bhav. He is Purusha. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not a false ego for him. It's real. Mm-hmm. Maya is his energy. Is that sense? Yeah. So now they'll get rid of these three, and therefore, because those three are why you have a position in the material world, you get rid of those three, you simply go back to the Brahman platform, the neutral platform, right? But if you don't get rid of the Purusha, you want to therefore apply the Purusha Bhav. Where are you going to apply it? Because there is no Purusha Bhav in the spiritual world. So it's only here. So again, you'll come back here to accept another of these three coverings of false ego. Does that make sense? So that's why the acharyas say real liberation, or permanent liberation, is entering into a spiritual planet in a relationship with the Lord. Right?
So this is control and joy, the doer and the purusha. Is that what you... the controller, the enjoyer, the doer, and Purusha, right? These are the four levels you mentioned?
No, controller and enjoyer is Purusha Bhava.
Okay.
Right? That's inherent, that's the polluted consciousness of the jiva. Okay? Then you have the egos that come with the mind intelligence false ego. Okay. Right? Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. So even though if you get rid of the mind intelligence false ego and you're just the soul, you still haven't gotten rid of your polluted consciousness. Therefore, you won't actually be liberated. You'll come back.
Okay.
Is this
the four nice people?
Huh? That's the ahankar.
That means all four of them are the ahankar. So we talk about, we can mean any one of those. But if we need, we can break it down into four. You know, like if I think, I want to, I this will be my best enjoyment. Mm. That's the mind. You know, I am this. That's the from ego, right? That, you know, the senses pulling in or this and that. You know, yeah, no, I can see really good. Mm. Yeah. You know, that's on that platform.
But we would not call these upadis.
They're what generate the upadis.
Okay.
Because it's the modes of nature that make everything work. So this is the functioning on the level of the modes of nature. This is how the modes of nature control. They control your sense of ego by identity, your sense of ego by intelligence and senses, and your sense of ego by the mind.
Yeah.
You know, so we think we're independent, but it's like, you know, the child, you know, pulling the bull around by the ring in their nose. It's not difficult. You know, you see these little kids, I mean literally kids, 8-year-olds with a stick in their hand and a rope, and on the other end is this big monster bull. And there's no problem. Where the kid goes, the bull goes. Right? Therefore, then she has a nice form of Lalita. Right? Little 11-year-old girl.
Yeah. Just so we know.
Yeah. And so then it works like this. So yeah. We're thinking I'm independent, but just like now, all this modern social concepts that devotees are deliberating in society, that's just the modes of nature. Mm-hmm. That's not spiritual. No. It's not essential. It's just what the modes have thrown out now.
Yeah.
Right? They're being discussed in society, and so therefore devotees are affected by that.
Best of both.
You know, yes. You know, it's just like, what was it? Some discussion came up. Someone was telling me that, you know, in Ukraine, the discussion about, you know, whether the Ukraine should go with the EU or go back with Russia, the devotees there are fighting over that. That's the modes of nature. It's had nothing to do with spiritual. Because who cares which side you are? You're still going to chant Hare Krishna. Is it going to make any difference? You know?
Sure.
No. You know, I mean, it makes some difference maybe in the quality of caviar or something, but other than that, it's not going to really make a difference for the devotees. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. This is the modes of nature. So she controls. We're saying, no, I'm independent. I'm independent. I'm free thinking. No, you're not. You it's just you have a combination of the modes that people have labeled as free thinking. But how is that free? They always say the same thing.
So in mundane consciousness, our contact with Krishna is the material energy, and as such, there is no freedom.
There is no freedom. Freedom is contacting the Lord in connection with the internal potency. So you're still, it's just a matter of desire, but now you're not bound. Now it's enlivening. It brings about bliss. The control here doesn't bring about bliss. There is no bliss here.
And that's why we keep working.
Yeah, because we're hoping we're going to get some bliss.
In the spiritual, we keep working because it's nice.
We keep working, it's nice, but it's just the nature of the soul as chit to be active. Right? You're active based on knowledge. So it's always going to go on. So you know, okay, if I do this, that'll please Krishna, I'll do that. So you know all these things. When you see the opportunity, you take it. So therefore, then that's actually free. Because we're still going to act within our nature. But here, we're bound. Because we say it's us thinking these things, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? There's an opportunity in the spiritual world. And we voluntarily take that because we want to serve Krishna. Here, an opportunity is presented. We take it because of the modes.
Yes.
Otherwise, if it was we were so independent, you know, as soon as you walk into the store, walk over to the counter and see the box sitting there, the big long box sitting there, and on the box says, you know, these will kill you.
Yes.
Then you go, oh, well, that's stupid. Okay. You know, and then you walk off. Right? But do you walk off? No. You still buy them.
Because it's a free country.
Yeah. How you say? You know, suicide is against the law, but you know, you can kill yourself slowly and no one complains.
There's the heart
right? No one makes money when you jump off a bridge, right? You have to clean it up. It costs money, right? But here they make money, so then it's okay.
There's the heart attack grill.
Sorry?
The heart attack grill in Las Vegas, they will give you a burger with 9,000 calories in. So they had a mascot who ate there every day, and so he died waiting for the bus to take him home from the heart attack grill. That was the second of their mascots to die in 2 years. But they're still going on. So
yeah.
Apparently, as long as people are making money, it's okay.
Yeah. Like you said, it's a free world.
Yeah.
You want to be a mascot. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe they should take as a mascot, like a, you know, they say a bulldog or something.
Could be. The waiters are walking around in nurses' uniforms.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, it's like puffer fish. Hmm? Puffer fish? Yeah, you know that fish that puffs itself with all the spikes?
Yeah.
In Japan, it's a delicacy, but they're highly poisonous.
Yeah,
and if you don't deal with them right, I forget what it is, one in 50 people or something die. But people, you know, think it's great fun.
Life on the edge.
Yeah, that's Maya means, it's a Chuttananda once explained that the if you do something... The demoniac mentality is do something dangerous and get out of it, out of the danger. That's fun.
Yeah.
You jump out of the plane.
Yeah.
That's potentially fatal, yeah. Right? But you get out of that by your chute open, right? So then they call that fun.
Yeah. Surviving.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So this is Hiranyagarbha, this golden egg.
What is the Hiranyagarbha?
Yeah, in this reference here, which we are talking today.
The golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
That's connected with the Lord's position as the creator. It means the shining golden egg is the universe.
Mm-hmm. From where all this...
It means he breathes out, so they come out of his pores. There's lots of them.
Okay, that's the golden egg.
Yeah, those are the golden egg. Mm-hmm. Then he enters that as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
But that is now, you can say, the potent where the masculine and feminine principle have come together, and now that potent of the egg, so from there you can produce all the living entities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? So we have all those aspects. Hmm? Okay. The Purusha, possessor of Shakti or Maya, Shaktiman, the expansion of Krishna, Linga Rupi, is called Maheshwara. The great Lord, Sankarsana Mahavishnu, appeared as the controller of Prakriti, given charge by Krishna, Lingay. Okay, text 11. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapata Sahasrabahur Vishvatma Sahasramsha Sahasrasu. This form of Mahavishnu, right, so you get the similar, like the Purusha Shukta.
Mm-hmm.
This form of Mahavishnu, the soul of the universe, creates countless universes. Because he has countless avatar forms within the universes, he is said to have countless heads, countless eyes, countless feet, and countless arms. So here we're looking at, you can look at from both angles, is that because Mahavishnu enters these unlimited universes as Garbhodakshaya, therefore, and Kirudakshi, and all the different avatars, he's said to have countless, like that. At the same time, within the universe, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, this element of the countless, meaning all the options of creation that are there, the universal form, and that what the living entities, depending upon their conditioning desire, will receive. You know, you get this hat, this, you know, it's like, you know, shopping. You go down with your cart, get this nose and this ear and all that, and then you take it up to the counter and they put it together for you. Right? Problem is I think once you figure out what it is, it's already too late.
Wait a minute.
Can I get a refund?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a one lifetime you know, I say, refund. This shloka, whose first line matches the first verse of Purusha Shukta, glorifies Karana Dakshai Vishnu, the source of all incarnations within the material world, right? He's the source. But then it'll say they'll come through Garbha Dakshai, but at the same time it says they come from Kira Dakshai. Yes.
Karna.
Oh, I started off with Kira Dakshai?
No, it starts with Karana.
Yeah, I'm saying, here he's saying Karana Dakshai, but in other places we were discussing in Laghu Bhagavatamrita how it's Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and in some verses Kira Dakshai Vishnu. So, in other words, the avatars are coming through Kira Dakshai Vishnu, but Kira Dakshai is an expansion of Garbha Dakshai, so they come from Garbha Dakshai Vishnu. But Garbha Dakshai comes from Karana Dakshai, so therefore he's the source of incarnation. Right?
So it has to do with context, how far you take it back.
Yeah, yes, it's just context and which aspect you're bringing out. So because now we're discussing Mahavishnu, it's all in context of him. Right? Jiva Goswami elaborates as follows. The word thousand means that he has countless expansions everywhere, not just a thousand. The second canto describes his form. Karana Dakshai Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, minds, the elements, material ego, modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living entities, both moving and non-moving, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. Right, so he is the first incarnation. Right? So then also he sees, using this term, that he's the first incarnation. So then, when we're dealing with the Panchatattva, who's who? Right? It means Advaitacharya is the incarnation of the devotee. So he's the incarnation. Right? Lord Chaitanya is the roop, the form. Nityananda is the expansion. But Advaita is the first incarnation. So talking about the same person here. Mm-hmm. You can also throw in Advaitacharya in that list of Mahavishnu. The commentary of Sridhar Swami says that the first Purusha avatar of the Supreme Lord for putting Prakriti in motion, a form for carrying out pastimes, is the person who is described in the scriptures as having a thousand heads. Okay. So, just made it.
Some of the students were very charitably inclined to get their questions.
Yes, I'm sitting here thinking that, everybody's getting inspired, thinking and all that. I find that after the classes, now he's worked it out. Okay, you get this.
Yes.
Hey. Actually, you probably find out after some times, it leaked out on Twitter or something that actually this is a reality show. Yeah. I'm thinking we're having a class in that somewhere, and everybody here is paid actors.
That's probably Hume.
Yeah, and then we're not actually sitting in Mayapur, this is actually in Burbank.
Yeah. Suddenly someone walks off with
and the wall falls. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
jai.
Janyatai Govardhanam ki
jai.